Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to one, thank you for listening to this episode of Don't You Know Who I Am, and two, tell you about the shows coming up at Comedy Republic this Saturday, going the next 4 weeks, 4 p.m. Go to joshearl.com.au for the tickets. The lineup this week, the first week, is Tom Gleason, Grace Jarvis, Zan Rowe, and Randy, so it's going to be lots and lots of fun, so make sure you head along. Love the first one to be sold out, so please, if you're in Melbourne, come and get a ticket. That'll be awesome. If you're not in Melbourne and you want to help the podcast, you can always be a Patreon subscriber. Go to patreon.com/dykwia. That's patreon.com/dykwia. You get a whole bunch of extra podcasts, top five, which I do every single week. So make sure you head on over to Patreon. Give us $5 a month. Keep the lights on. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, enjoy. Go through the back catalogue. Heaps of great stuff. 239 episodes. And I will see you on the other side of this music.
Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a man from the Philippines who works at Krusty Krab. Or it's just a man who is a SpongeBob SquarePants fan and is doing a little joke on Facebook. Who knows? Joshua Earl on Facebook. Hey, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, thank you. Welcome. What I do, I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. Normally it's four. Today we just had someone pull out literally a minute ago. But that's all right. We can do it with three very, very funny people. So let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a club strategy lead for the Australian Football League, plus a Perth bricklayer. Can you please welcome, it's singer-songwriter, it's Darren Hayes.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
That's all right. Do you know about these other Darren Hayeses?
No, but clearly I didn't think through a solo career because I sound like a plumber. It's the worst stage name. It's the worst, yeah.
There's been a, like, I say Darren is a very Australian name.
Very. I think it's because of Bewitched in the 70s.
Okay. Well, that, there you go. That's American.
Yeah, but I think we watched it and my mum thought, oh, that's quite exotic.
Yeah.
And that's how I got the name.
Do you know what you'd be if you were a girl? What your name was going to be?
Ironically, they never picked out a name for a girl, but they shouldn't have. But no, no. My sister was almost named Norma, which is pretty horrific.
No, I guess all those names are coming back around, though. Norma. Shout out to all our
Normas. Norma Jean.
Yeah, all the listeners Marilyn's out there called Norma. Shout out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Our next guest, also joining us, is a comedian and writer who shares his name with the head chef of an Adelaide restaurant, Fedora's. Can you please welcome Mr. James Colley? Yes.
Hello, I did not know that.
Yeah, Fedora's. So he likes cooking or street magic. That's what he gets with Fedora's.
I only knew that the James Colley that sends me his receipts for a Tennessee-based mechanic and buying online tumblers with Trump merchandise.
Oh, nice. And finally is a comedian who shares her name with the practice manager of Beth Israel Hospital in Brookline, Massachusetts. Can you please welcome back to the podcast, it's Michelle Brazier. Yay.
That's the only person that shares my name.
I know, and I've used it before,
but still.
If there's
only one, you've used it at least two times.
Well, last time I didn't even say you shared your name with someone because it was with, I should point out, the most popular episode of the year last year.
Was it?
You
that's
Michelle.
That's crazy, but I guess. Oh.
Demi, Auntie Donna, Ben Russell.
You had the extended Donna family on and you should never have put yourself through that. And I'm so sorry.
Well, I think this edit's going to be a lot easier than that one, Michelle.
I'll see what I can do.
Now, I should point out, Darren, this is the first time I've ever met you, but we've kind of conversed online before.
Yeah.
The first time,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if you remember the first time we actually spoke online. I spoke out of turn and I owe you apology face to face.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. I think you were taking the piss. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can swear and all this.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, no, but I really, it's weird. I feel like I know you because wasn't I following you?
Yes, and something? I didn't realise you were already following me. And I, for the listener and for James and Michelle, Tony Abbott, ex-Prime Minister, came out and said that concept, Savage yes. Garden, Darren's ex-band, was one of his favourite bands. And I jokingly said, not even the people in Savage Garden like Savage Garden, because I heard Darren say he would only get the band back together if it cured cancer and all that kind of stuff. Darren, I apologise, clearly has great fond memories of his band and loves his work. So Darren said...
Yeah, but I hate the Prime Minister. But no, I do love my band. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so there you go. So
it's so funny that you've just got Darren on your podcast so you can be like, just so you know, I know that Savage Garden's good. I was just trying to be funny.
It was just funny.
But you know,
I'm also a big fan of the idea that the only way to cure cancer is to release a new Savage Garden album, which will inspire Tony Abbott to get back in the lab and pick up his genetic bionics degree that he used to have.
But it pretty much could be.
Sometimes online, context and subtext and all that kind of context clues are lost. So sometimes
it's hilarious. Oh, yeah. You disagree, Michelle?
No, it's always really easy and simple and everyone should just be online all the time. It's really healthy and good.
Okay, our first game today is called Social Media. In this round, I'll read out tweets from the three of you and me. I'm also included. I've got some tweets there. If you think you know who wrote these tweets, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right. A point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect. So you can't lose any points, so don't feel bad about getting them wrong. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. Here we go. Question one. Tim Allen and Jerry Seinfeld look exactly the same.
Darren.
Yes, Darren.
I think James said that.
No, that was Michelle Brazier. A point there for Michelle.
I said it and I stand by it. They're the same guy, 100%. As if they're not the same man.
What?
They look exactly the same. Pause the podcast. Look it up. They are the same man. Is this anything?
It is. They dress very similar.
There's three of them.
They both like wearing jeans and sneakers before it was fashionable.
Yeah.
Or maybe as it was fashionable, then after it was fashionable, and now it's back into fashion.
They just have dad face, you know?
Yeah.
They both have a dad face. Anyway.
And they both.
I'm not here to defend myself.
Why did you say that to Josh like he knew? You're like, you know? Like, yeah. You know, dad. Like he knows.
You know, dad face. You're going to face your dad. Yeah. What am I, crazy?
All right. Question two. Oh, God. Trump just requested to add me to his LinkedIn network.
Coley.
Yes, James.
That's a Josh.
No, that is a Darren Hayes there.
Yeah.
Point there for Darren.
True story.
Did he really?
No.
I was going to say, that would be amazing.
He got kicked off everything. He's so pathetic. I was like, oh, God. No offense to anyone that uses LinkedIn.
Well, I use it at the start of the show to find other people around the world with different jobs. So the Darren Hayes I found were both on LinkedIn.
Wow. Yeah. Were they both plumbers?
No, well, one's a bricklayer. Bricklayer, and then one worked for the AFL.
Right, so they both got really hot thighs.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They both do their squats. All right, next question. If you're rude to a retail worker during Christmas, you should be forced to take their place and stay there until someone is rude to you. Treat that shit like a chain letter.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
Was it Josh?
No, it was James. So a point there for James. Did you ever work retail, James?
Yes, I've worked my retail. I think we discussed this on... the last episode I was on here, but I also quit my Nightfield job when I was hit in the face with a dildo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was on there last time.
Where were you doing Nightfield?
Coles. They brought it from home.
Oh, good. Oh, it's polite to bring it from home.
Yeah.
Unless it's a licensed premises, in which case you can't bring your own dildo. You have to.
Could you imagine a world where Coles sold dildos just on the shelf?
Yeah, I can imagine a utopia.
Like, I've been to America.
How many years away do you reckon that's going to be until you just get... There's only going to be three shops in Australia, Coles, Woolworths and Bunnings, and you have to get everything from those shops.
Yeah, because you have to go to Coles for the dildo and then Bunnings for the drill to attach it to.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, question...
A very aggressive dildo.
Yeah. Question four. The beach would be great if instead of sand, it was grass.
Collie.
Darren.
Yes, yes, James.
Michelle.
No, that was Josh Earl. A point there for me. Yes.
I agree. Oh, yeah. The sand is so annoying and it's hot. Yeah. And
sand is clearly the worst part about the beach. Because all these people are like going, oh, you should move to London where there's like pebble beaches. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds fine. Like, I mean, well, it's hard to lie down on pebbles, but yeah. It's just the same.
The reason for my guess was that was clearly a Melbourne-ass tweet, so it had to be one of you two.
I prefer the forest, if I'm honest.
Well, Michelle, we both have very thick hair. The reason you hate it is because it gets stuck in your hair for days afterwards?
Yeah, and I've got really curly hair. I always straighten it. So as soon as it goes into the ocean, it's just like and full of sand. So it's a lot to take in, and it's been upsetting in the past, and I have learnt, and I will stop going one day.
I took my kids and they love it and they'll spend hours there and I'm like, all right, we're good for 20
kids
minutes and then I'd like to go.
Kids love sand.
I know.
I hate it. And they want to go, when you take a kid to a park and they want to play in the sand pit and stuff, it's just like, I don't want, okay, this is fun, but it's so horrible.
My youngest kid can go to school for a day and then come home and just tip his shoes out and they're full of sand. I'm like, oh, did you play in the sand pit? No. Where did this sand come from then?
That's how they sweat.
My kid sweats sand.
Your kid is planning a Shawshank Redemption style escape from school.
Yeah.
All right, question. Next question. Here we go. Blowjob in peach. Attack on the Capitol? Yeah.
Collie Darren?
Yes, you're correct, James. Yes, that is Darren. Yes. Yeah. A lot of Trump tweets.
It was me.
When it comes to Darren.
Oh, it's terrible. I'm so sorry if anyone follows me on Twitter. I regularly douche my Twitter timeline once a month because it's just mostly political, so I do apologize. It's changing very soon, don't worry.
Yeah, by the time this is out, it'll be the day he leaves.
Everything will be perfect. Everything will be great and COVID will be gone and I will be thin.
I'd love to point out that this is the day before the inauguration that this is being recorded just in case anything goes wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And my sympathies for anyone who was affected by the incident. See, that covers everything.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Smart.
See, at this point, Joe Biden's alive.
Yeah.
At this point in time. Oh,
like 70, 80%.
What's happening now is everyone's wondering, and this is before he's announced who he's pardoning. So everyone's saying, is he going to pardon Joe Exotic? Which is an amazing world we're living in. When the Guardian newspaper has who is he pardoning and there's a big picture of Joe Exotic there. That's the Guardian, who I put up there as one of the best newspapers in the world, but they're still like going, Joe Exotic is the big one that's going to get people to click on this article.
He has a limousine waiting outside of the prison.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, in case he gets pardoned. Which is...
I would give 3-1 odds that Trump is going to try and pardon the Hamburglar and have to be talked down.
All right, next question. In 2021, we will beat the virus if everyone casts me in their shows and puts me in their writers' rooms and commissions many works made by me and also wears masks. Thank you in advance.
Darren.
No worries if not. Yes, Darren.
Yeah, you said that, Josh.
No, that was Michelle. Michelle said that.
You can tell because at the end it says no worries if not, and I'm the only girl here.
You know, here's the thing is I just only took Josh as the selfish self-promoter.
Yeah. So that's about, you follow me on Twitter, you should know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I fail at this.
That's nice that's out there about me though. I am a mover and shaker when it comes to promotional tweets.
Shaking it, doing it.
Question 8. Watch Hamilton with a critical eye. There are some major historical inaccuracies. Many of these large musical numbers never happened.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
That was James.
That was James, yes. Put there for Michelle,
yes. Wow. One day I hope I'm good at Twitter. That was really good. It's funny.
It's random chance. 1 in 1,000 has to hit.
No, James, you're very good. I've never seen Hamilton. Is that... Are you a big fan of it, Michelle? You seem like you would have liked Hamilton.
That's a burn. What do you
mean? Is that because I'm half Puerto Rican or is it because I'm a music theatre kid?
Because you're a music theatre kid. Music theatre.
No, I do love it. It's good. But I, you know, I don't know.
You sound like
you've
been given a gift you don't like.
Yeah. No, I love it. No, it's great. No, it's great.
Do you keep the receipt?
No, it's really good. It is. It's really good. It's fantastic. I love it.
Can I ask something though, Michelle?
Yes.
So, I'm really into like indie music and stuff like that. And so when one band breaks through, I'm always like, yeah, they're good, but these ones are the ones that you should really be into. If you like that, you should listen to these people. Is that like Hamilton? Where you're like, yeah, Hamilton's good, but if you really want to see something that's going to blow you away, this is the musical to see.
I mean, I don't think so, because I obviously transitioned into comedy, and so I've kind of moved away from that community. But it's just that any musical where everyone's like, yeah, I'm like, oh no, the music theatre people are gonna be out and about in their costumes. It's just a bit much.
They're gonna want to come round and say hello afterwards.
Yuck.
No, you know what's weird? I didn't think I would like it either, because I think I have a similar thing in that my favourite musical is Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so good.
It's so great. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But, and I resisted Hamilton mostly because I couldn't get tickets. But when it was on telly, I watched it and it did blow me away. So
it's great.
Yeah, it's good.
I saw it in London. Very good. Also, it's a hip-hop album. And I just love how Americans can take themselves so seriously. I just adore it. I know that I should be not on board for that, but I love Ernest. It's great. I wish we could get away with it.
You've just sold me on a musical set in Canberra, the most exciting city in the world. You should write that. It'd be great.
So that's why my theory with why Australia doesn't make as good a reality TV as Americans, because we're not serious enough. Like when everything's going to shit, Australian guys are like, you're all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. You're all right. Yeah. Which doesn't make good TV.
Yeah, no, they're shit.
One of the trainers at my gym is going on the new series of Married at First Sight. And I'm very excited to see how he goes.
Yeah. That's very funny. Also, I do have to point out, I'm trapped in this jump, trying to take off the jumper. I've got a big set of headphones. I don't know what's going to happen.
I feel like I should close my eyes.
It's very much like a contemporary dance move there, Michelle, trapped in a jumper.
Now it's here. Now it's here on the cord.
Oh, it's on the cord.
It's on the cord forever.
This is very Mr. G.
Are you filming this?
Good stuff. But that's all right. I'll put this bit up.
This is good stuff.
Okay, what's this move? This move is very interesting.
I've got to get it off.
So now it's going through the headphone.
But I don't want to miss the pod.
Do you know what it's like? It's like, you know, those things where you got to put the hoop over the wire, and if it touches the wire, it kind of electrocutes, so you got to go back to the start. That's what you just did there with your headphones. It's very good stuff.
Yep. What did you need?
Excellent. No, it was perfect. Very graceful. Next question.
Are you just browsing?
Yeah. Next question. I think it's time for Gal Gadot to fire up the WhatsApp group and record another song.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
Josh.
Yes, that was me. Yes, you're right, Michelle. Yes, that was me. I found that only happened less than 12 months ago, the Imagine video.
I loved that. Wasn't that gorgeous?
It was great.
Did you see the video where the guy had the keys and he was playing piano and he did all the key changes to try and play? It's so good.
I just don't understand that. Like, I really just like, couldn't someone have just gotten a karaoke file?
A track.
Or
just a track.
Just a track. Let's just do it in the same key.
I watched the new Wonder Woman. My wife and I sat down and watched it, and it was very fun to watch both Gal Gadot openly think, I'm Gal Gadot, in every scene. You could see, like, the thought go through her mind. And also that, like, because of her limits acting, they had to make the Amazonians all have, like, very thick Israeli accents, which is just something entirely unaddressed but wonderful to see.
That's really funny that they were just like, you know what? You all probably have that, wouldn't you? You'd all have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing you guys all have. So, yeah.
All right. And our last question for this round, Jolene. Dolly Parton as a barista.
Damn it.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
James.
You are correct. Yes, that was James. Yes.
Man, I'm never tweeting again. Note to self, don't go on a podcast with comedians who tweet. You'll just feel terrible about yourself.
There was even more to that. Now, James, you second-guessed yourself in that tweet, because the remainder of that tweet was, TJF, folks, let's not take ourselves too seriously here today, which is a real, oh, this is a bad joke, but I'm going to just do this as so everyone knows I'm only joking, but it was good enough on its own. You should believe in yourself, buddy.
I love to drop that on a tweet that I presume will make people angry.
Yeah. Also, while we're talking about Jolene, I wrote a song from the perspective of the husband of Jolene, who, of Dolly Parton, who was just saying to Jolene, "Hey, my wife, she heard I said your name. I was dreaming about work, and your name came up. So hopefully, she doesn't say anything to you." So that's on my Patreon for anyone who wants to go listen to it. Hey, at the end of the round, the scores are: Darren, you're on 1 point.
Oh.
Josh, I'm on 1 point. James, you're on 2 points, but in the lead on 5 points is Michelle Brazier.
I'm really good at this.
You are really good.
Crushing.
Consume a lot of content.
Yeah. All right, this round is called We Are Family. Now, we all have family. Sometimes that's great. Sometimes not so great. And today, we are meeting the Collies. Now, James treated his dad to an event. But what was it, and why did it annoy his dad so much? Was it A, he bought him tickets to the wrestling, but his dad hated the fact that the refs were cheating, so halfway through, he stormed out. That's A. B, he bought him tickets to the Sydney Symphony Orchestra at the Opera House, but his dad could not get past the cymbals player, saying he had the easiest job in the world. He was so fixated on it that he started Googling on the phone if everyone in the orchestra got paid the same amount of money. Or C, he took him to see the magician, Cosentina, but his dad kept on scoffing at the end of the tricks and leaning into James saying, "It's all fake." James told him he knew, but it's fun to play along. At the interval, his dad said he'd seen enough and was going home. Now, one of these is true. You can ask James as many questions you want, but bear in mind, he wants you to get the answer wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
James, where was the wrestling?
The wrestling, I think it was the Homebush, it's changed names 400 times, but it used to be the, Sydney Entertainment Centre or the Superdome or whatever it's called. The one that the State of Origin isn't at, but is near it.
Okay,
that's an easy fake answer. James, who were the two main event wrestlers? What were their names?
Now, this is one that I can't even fake well because I can't remember. They did have the Hardy Boys were coming back, and that was a big event for us.
The Hardy Boys, like the Enid Blyton books.
Yes. They had to solve the mystery of who would win the wrestling.
James, does your dad use an iPad?
My dad uses a Samsung iPad knockoff. So it's the general idea of an iPad. And mostly he uses the Kindle app to reread Harry Potter over and over and over again.
That doesn't sound like a man who would think to Google a thing. Because I just spent 4 days with my mother, and I tell you what, she went, I never could figure out if Robin Hood was real or not. And I said, have you looked it up? She said, oh, no. I was like, okay.
Well, so, that's because you don't have any encyclopedias at home anymore. That's why.
That is true.
James, this cymbal player...
Yes.
What was the name of the venue that he was crashing the cymbals so seldomly in?
The Opera House.
It was the Opera House.
Yeah,
okay.
Sydney Symphony Orchestra at the Opera House.
And what were they playing? Sorry, I know this is the second question, but what was the piece?
It was Handel's Water Music, of all things, which I thought is a nice thing to take your dad to, isn't it?
Yeah, I also add details when I'm lying as well. That's what I do, add some details.
I also think there would be... You would have a percussion team, and for the entire time, there would not be... You'd have two or three, depending on
if it was
during COVID.
Picking up various percussive instruments according to when they were... they have one guy, but lots of different instruments save a lot of money.
I think he's on a timpani.
I am certain that's true.
He's a timpani. He's doing some kabasas. He's got a vibraslap.
Which you can get at Coles in the dildo aisle.
I agree with you entirely about this, but try explaining that to my father when he is certain a scam is happening in front of his eyes.
I'm going to say it was the... What was the one that wasn't wrestling and wasn't the symphony orchestra?
The magic show, Cosentina. Are you going to
look
in?
What was the best trick?
Good question.
The best trick?
Yes.
By my estimation or by my father's?
By yours.
I like the one where he made, like, so this is a... Like, so close-up magic, but it starts with card trick and stuff. But it's one of those things, you know, when they get the puff of fire? I always think of Job from Arrested Development for this. But, like, it was one of those spectacular, is this your... And then out of that, in the smoke, he had the card. It was fine.
Do you think about Job a lot, James?
Yes. Entirely unrelated to any of these scenarios, but yes, I do.
Okay, cool. I mean, I pretty much think I know what I think it is.
All right, what do you think it is, Darren? No, I think we can lock it.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I actually think it was the magician, because it just sounds like something, like I might have left Spamalot after Act 1. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I've seen enough.
I know what this is about. And Michelle, what do you think?
I think it is the...
You look like you're Googling, like events.
What did James do with his test? No, I think it's the Symphony Orchestra.
You think it's B? The correct answer was A. He took him to the wrestling, and his dad got upset that the refs were cheating.
That is
funny. It is true. He spent the whole time being like, oh, he saw him hit him with that chair. He saw him. Like, yes, he very much did, Dad. He was getting very worked up, and there were 8-year-olds in front of us who did understand what was happening, and it felt like Dad was...
Aww.
No, I got trained in wrestling one time.
For a
Auntie
role?
Donna sketch.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we went to Melbourne City Wrestling School, and none of us could walk for about 4 days afterwards. But then we got to go to the wrestling for free after.
Are you guys telling me that wrestling's not real? Yeah.
No, Darren, and don't you listen. Don't you, hey.
Okay.
You quit that pouting.
Okay.
You believe in your heroes.
Hey, I hope there's no kids listening, because one day I'll tell you guys about the time I found out that Santa Claus wasn't necessarily real.
Right.
And I was very old, and I was at Woodridge Plaza, and my mother just blurted it out, and I was devastated for real.
How old were you?
Okay, I might have been about 12.
Oh.
I know. It's really embarrassing. Well, it was when Return of the Jedi came out, so it was like 1983 or 4 or something. And my mum said something like, someone's son, she's like, oh, you know, Danny Dawson still doesn't believe in Santa Claus. And I said, but he's real though. And mum went, oh, you know, he's not real. For God's sakes, Darren, it's me. And she walked off. And you know that scene in a movie when they zoom in and zoom out? I don't know. Someone technical will know what this is. But my whole world just changed. And I went, there's no Santa. But then... in an instant, I realized that meant I could ask for what I wanted, so I got a Nintendo game.
Oh, nice. Brilliant.
That's a good pivot. That's a good pivot.
See, one of my favorite memories of Donald Trump's presidency was when, there's not many, but was when he was talking to a 7-year-old. And he goes, you still believe in Santa Claus? And he goes, because, you know, seven, it's a weird age, isn't it? Some do, some don't. Like, you kind of, and just completely, like, ruin Santa Claus for this kid. It's so good.
Funny.
But he can do that. He just substitutes the topic. He can do that with climate change, racism, any of those things. He just says that. That's his opener at every party.
So at the end of that round, the scores are Darren, you're still on 1 point. I'm still on 1 point. James, you're now on 4 points. And Michelle, still on 5 points, but in the lead, so that's all right. So this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. A point if you get it correct. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So you can ask them as many questions you want. Bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong. So, to James. Across from Michelle's house, there is a park. And while it was being constructed, one of the builders would come on his day off, sit on the bench that he built, and eat his lunch alone. This has made Michelle cry on multiple occasions. Yeah or nah?
You seem very empathetic. I'm going to say yes.
Do you want to ask some questions? Let's ask her some questions. The pod's only been going for 25 minutes.
What was his standard lunch? Please.
What'd you say?
What was the standard lunch? Give me a typical lunch.
I don't know. Too far away. He's so far away and he's behind a fence, so I can't see him. So he's behind, so there's this fencing around the park because the park's not open. He's been building the park. And then they stopped work on the park, but this lone builder started coming just to the park for lunch. He would like open the gate and get in there and sit. I can see him from my balcony, but there's no way. I couldn't tell you what the lunch is.
Okay, what do you reckon his backstory is? What do you think his backstory is, this guy?
Divorced.
Oh, do you reckon he's like the Taj Mahal, building it as a tribute to his ex-wife?
Yeah, and he comes to protect it. Or maybe, I mean, there's a cat that lives in the street. Maybe he's like really likes the cat. I don't know. Depression? Yeah. Who can say?
Yeah.
I know it's not my thing, but what kind of home, what kind of Taj Mahal was he building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, this guy?
Yeah. I just want to know what kind of tribute he was making to his love.
Small inner city park with turf.
That's so what he was building?
In what sense is he building this? Yeah.
Well, there's structures. Like there's like a shelter over the barbecue area and there's a playground and there's a
And this project was abandoned.
No, it's still happening. It's still happening, but they stopped work on it like over the Christmas period and he was still here. He was like, hello, ready for work. And I was like, oh, God.
And did you, like, is this a recurring thing that, like, you noticed it once or it became sad so you became obsessed with it?
It became sad so I became obsessed with it, obviously. I've seen Paddington 2 upwards of 12 times. James, we've only met once, I think, but I reckon that you can see into my soul and you know that this is probably true. But I could be lying. I am an actress.
I'm going to say it's true.
You, James, are correct. That is a true story, yes.
Thank God. If you were lying, I would have just been like, you are a psychopath. Wow. Very good.
So have you ever thought to go over and talk to him, Michelle?
I can't get close enough. I would have to yell. Like, I would have to be like, lunch boy. Like, you there, lunch boy.
You could
like,
do. I couldn't. Go into the park. Leave a little note where he has
I've made a card that says, thank you for building the park.
Did you sign it your name or leave it on your
No, I just said thank you for building the park.
Oh, he might think that's his ex-wife.
I put it on the fence one day. Well, I hope not. Imagine if this is my ex-husband and I haven't made that clear.
You've just given him hope.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to give him hope.
All right, so to Michelle now. When Darren was a child, he once jumped out of a moving vehicle because unbeknownst to him, he had just sat on a wild boar. As in
what?
A pig. Mm-hmm. You can ask him questions.
One full pig?
Yeah, an entire wild boar. Yeah, probably about, well, it was an F-100 Ute, right? So do you know what that means? So it was a Ford, like a pickup truck, I guess Americans would call them.
And
we would go out hunting. Could you imagine? I mean, I hated it. It was horror for me. But we would go out hunting. I'm from Queensland. Yeah, and I would have to go, and they would have dogs. So barbaric. I don't even know if this is legal anymore. But they would have the pig dogs. Ugh. And the pig dogs would go out and, like, go and get the pig.
Oh.
And then they would, like, get it. And then my dad and some other burly men who didn't wear deodorant, I'll never forget that, they would restrain the animal. And then they would put it in the back of, you know, the ute. And sometimes there'd be a few or a couple or who knew. And you just did that until you had all the pigs and whatever. And I sat down in the ute because I was a little exhausted. And I said to my dad at one point, Dad, where's the pig? And he said, you're sitting on it. I'd literally forgotten. I looked down and this poor little pig was just bound and like petrified. I'm sure it was thinking, help me.
Oh, it was still alive.
Of course, yeah. That happens later. That part gets dealt with later. Mm-hmm.
And what crime did the pig commit?
It was grazing on a farmer's goods or something. And so it was a pest. And so it had to be arrested and restrained.
Oh, my God. The funniest thing about this is that I am vegan.
I am too.
It's so upsetting. Yeah. I believe that this... I think I believe this is true.
You, Michelle.
Don't forget, I'm an actor.
Yeah. But also...
really good at it.
You are correct, Michelle. This is a true story.
I'm correct. Yeah, oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That sounds awfully traumatic.
It was pretty... the worst part, though, was that I didn't have any shoes on and I got bindies in my feet from running in this field. Yeah. Anyway.
That sounds tough.
Don't worry, the pig survived. The pig was fine. No, I'm kidding. They slaughtered it.
Were you given a gun or were you on the spotlight?
Oh, my God. I love that you know this.
Yeah, I grew up in Tassie and my uncle did. He was a roo shooter. And he would do very similar things.
Yes, so we used to go roo shooting, and my sister and I were on. We were spotty because we were anti-violence, and so what we would sometimes do, we would go, "Run, Skippy, run!"
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was horrible. It was awful. It was just the most disgusting thing ever.
I remember clicking what they were doing, like when I was like in kindergarten, because they shot a kangaroo, but it had a joey in its pouch, and so for about 2 weeks, my parents and my family looked after a little joey. Until it got big enough.
Until it was big enough to shoot.
Pretty much, let it go, and we'll go. Yeah. We'll see you in a couple of years.
We had the same thing, Josh. Yeah. We had many pet kangaroos for a little while, and then they just went away because they were all the orphans.
Yeah, well, I remember taking it to school for show and tell in kindergarten, and it was like, "Oh, you've got a rock, do you, Nick? Well, I've got a fucking kangaroo. Yes, I win."
That's so funny.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll point there to Michelle. Now, to Darren. Before James was married, he and his now wife went to Paris. James had no idea, but his girlfriend believed he was going to propose at the Eiffel Tower. He was not. He found this out later when he looked at the photo of the two of them and he could see the absolute disappointment in her eyes. Yeah or nah?
I mean, statistically, we've had 2 years, so this has to be a nah, but then I'm terrible at gambling, so who knows? I'm going to ask some questions. Let me ask you this question. How did you eventually propose? Was it a traditional proposal? Did you do something romantic?
It was semi-romantic, but it was also one of those stories where I had something elaborate planned, then everything went wrong every step along the way until I like panicked and proposed at a park while she was like maybe a half centimetre from absolutely losing her shit at me.
And when you were in the park, was there an old man sitting there eating his lunch, just really sad?
Well, yeah, her ex-husband was there. I invited him, of course.
Exactly. It feels a bit dodgy to me only because I don't feel like if you're that connected to someone to propose to them that you wouldn't pick up on the body language and you'd have to look at the photos later on. And also, you seem too young to have actual photos. It just feels like something that maybe this was a big pile of bullshit and a lie, but I'm going to say you're making this isn't true.
You, Darren, are incorrect. That is a true story. A point there for James.
Sorry, you're so insensitive.
Yeah, I was. I had no idea until it's a photo. It's one of my favourite photos. It is her sipping champagne from the Eiffel Tower, clearly fucking furious.
That's funny.
Yeah, no,
can you send me that?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
So where you said you did it in a park. Where was the park? Was it as good as the Eiffel Tower Paris? Or?
Oh, yeah, it was by St. George's River in the Shire, which is very much the Paris of the Insular Peninsula.
Because I proposed, my proposal story with my wife is that, like, because I used her grandmother's ring. She'd mentioned before, oh, if I ever get married, I would like my grandmother's ring. And so I had to ring up her parents who had the ring and say, look, I'm not asking permission, but can I please have the ring? I would like to propose to your daughter. And the dad was very, very, very happy that I was, you know, not asking permission, but let them know first. They were in it. And so my wife was in Perth and then flying back, but her flight got delayed. And so when she landed, I was going to do it pretty much that night, but she was in such a foul mood that I'm like, oh, I can't do it. And then she didn't unpack her bag because she had to go to work early the next morning. And I had to go through her bag, find the package that her parents said, oh, we've given Josh just some socks and a bit of a chocolate bar that I know he likes. So, yeah, just let him unwrap that himself. But it was the ring in there, folded up in some socks. So I had to go in the bag, unwrap the present, take it out, then wrap it back up and put it back in a bag like nothing had happened. And then had to propose. And then I was like, I was going to do this when you landed, but you're in a really bad mood. So I waited about 2 or 3 days. So yeah, that's how I did mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did also call up and ask for ask permission for her mother and her father, and her mum was like very excited by the prospect, and she tried to call her father in, but he had a very good hand in the card game he was playing and just refused to come to the phone.
Darren, did you propose to your husband or did your husband propose to you?
Big time. No, yep. I did. It was, and it was super romantic and everything, but I didn't ask his parents for permission because they're both dead.
Ah, well,
least. Thanks for bringing that up, everybody. No, it was really romantic. It was very, very sweet because at the time I was living in San Francisco and I only went to London for work and met him in the UK. And I didn't want to be like, we just knew, like it was one of those things. We've been married for 15 years now. So, yeah. So you can imagine when we first met, it was kind of like within a week, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to marry this person. And I didn't want him to think I was a stalker. So I said, you know, I'm like totally moving to England anyway. So like, it wouldn't be weird if we, you know what I mean? Like if we like, had a relationship or anything like, so I mean, I know it seems like I'm just here for work and I have a green card and I live in America and everything, but like, London's great, isn't it? Like I sort of lied about it a bit.
That's
just
so funny.
Just so I wouldn't seem too desperate. And then, it was beautiful. The reason I mentioned that was, so when I eventually showed him my house in San Francisco, it was kind of the last time I was there, and it was to sort of show him this life that I loved, and he loved it.
Yep.
But it was like, let's say goodbye to it, and I want you to marry me. So, yeah.
That's so nice.
Does he work in the same industry as you?
Yes, sort of. He's a he's now a writer. So when I met him, he's a brainiac. So he was lecturing in film. So he was a university lecturer and taught and studied film and stuff. And he did motion graphics. So he did a lot of work on concert tours and things.
Yep.
And worked on my tours. But now he's a writer. Although he does music videos for me for free because, you know, hey, why not?
Nice.
Yeah.
At the end of the round, the scores are Darren, you're still on 1 point. I'm still on 1 point. James is now on 6 points. And Michelle, also on 6 points.
Ooh.
It's close for top and bottom here. Here we go. All right. This is our final round. It's called Hoo Hoo.
If I don't win this election, do I have to be around for the end of it? Can I just leave and not do the transfer of power?
You can just pardon one of the others in the thing.
Okay,
go.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Okay, in good. This round, the score... This round is called Hoo Hoo, Hoo Hoo. In this round, I'll read out questions about all three of you, not me. And if you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. So here we go. Question one. Who here doesn't know which cheese should go on a cheese board?
Darren.
Yes, Darren.
Josh doesn't.
I'm not included, so it's just James or Michelle.
Oh, I don't know. Then take a point off me.
No, just guess. You've got a 50-50 chance.
It's clearly James.
No,
look at him.
It's Michelle.
How very dare you? I make a wonderful cheese board. I pickle my own onions, Darren.
Oh,
how very
I forgot.
Dare you?
Michelle's a vegan, so an idiot.
Is that why, Michelle? Did you have to make a cheese board and just... went,
yeah,
all right, we'll just
because
put whatever.
I always try to have, like, I try to be the cool vegan. So I'm always like, there's some vegan cheeses, but there's, you guys, I got you like a cow cheese because I'm like really nice. But I never know which one's good to get. So I always get Brie, but I don't know if that's appropriate. I don't know what's right. And like, I don't know. Like, and I'm a foodie. Like, I care about presentation and it makes me so stressed. And then on Twitter, that's the first time I publicly said, look, I don't know.
I love the idea. Go, James.
I love the idea of a cool vegan say like, okay, look, I've got a vegan meal here, but I've also got this full roast pig with an apple in its mouth, just in case.
And I've just put a leather jacket on just to keep it warm.
I think that James has actually been to my house once when I put on a spread and I think I had like a little non-vegan section. Do you remember this?
I believe so, yes. This was the big breakfast, yeah.
Yeah, we had a big breakfast and I was like, and here's the like, well, I don't know what you guys eat, blah.
Here's a quarter pounder patty. Is that
what you want? I don't know.
When I saw this, Michelle, that you didn't know what cheese would, I forgot that you were a vegan. So I just thought, oh, is she like putting like a Baby Bell or like a Kraft single on a cheese board?
I can see that you're making jokes, but I don't understand them at all. I don't know. I've never eaten cheese. I was really fussy. I'd never had a burger or... I'd never had pasta, I'd never had pizza, any of those things until I was 18 years old and I went vegan at 21. I had 1 year where I was vegetarian where I had some cheeses. I had halloumi and I had mozzarella. And that was the only, like, 2 years, 2 or 1 year that I ate any cheeses. So I missed cheese.
You had a fucking cheese Rom Springer.
Yeah, and a cheese Rom Springer.
That does make sense, though, because, like, those cheeses that you mentioned are kind of bland, and cheese in general is kind of a bit stinky and whatever, so that does make sense that that's why you were never really drawn to it and why you would get people maybe brie, because it looks bland, right? It's not, though. It's kind of vile.
It doesn't? It's not? What do I do?
Well,
you tell me.
I don't know.
You mentioned
why
halloumi.
Why would anyone tell me what to do?
My mum's partner.
Everyone loves a compty.
I saw my mum's partner on the weekend, and he's just discovered a halloumi cheese, and I reckon in the space of, 72 hours I was with him, I reckon I heard 10 conversations where he was trying to bring up halloumi cheese. It was great. He's a nice guy, but it was like, oh, mate, okay, let's go get some halloumi for you, mate. We'll fry it up on the barbecue for you.
That's fantastic.
My deep Westie beloved parents are also, they have the same thing for avocado. They have recently, they discovered avocado when they were asking, oh, do you want anything for Christmas? And I was like, oh, it'd be nice to have avocado on toast. And now every Christmas I get a message being like, we got an avocado.
All right, next question. Who once shat themselves while wearing leather pants?
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
Darren?
Yes, you are correct. That was Darren, yes.
How did you know that, though? I guess I'm the only person here who would ever wear leather pants. That makes sense. Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus. Do you want any more?
Yes, please.
It's really embarrassing. Okay, so...
Was it an accident or a show of strength? Or
it was even better than that. So I have shat myself once on a, on tour. You guys know what it's like when you're touring and stuff. Like if whatever, we're on a tour bus and that can happen if you have a stomach bug or something. And you never trust a fart, right? We all know that. Mm-mm. If you've got a gurgly tummy, you never trust it. You just assume it's going to be a number two. But no, this particular time I was at a really fancy party and I was wearing Dolce & Gabbana Spring and Summer 1998 collection leather pants. And they were given to me and I thought I was the absolute tits and I was in Los Angeles and I was at some party and everyone loved me and it was just great and I was just doing the rounds but I needed to do a number two. So I was like, excuse me one second, I'll be right back. And I went up to my hotel and I did the business, but there was no loo paper. And so I had to do that thing you do. So I'd done it, right? But I hadn't wiped. And I had to do that thing where you do the walk with your pants around your ankles, right? Yeah. We've all done it. Don't tell me you haven't done it. Just because you're a vegan doesn't mean you haven't done it, Michelle.
I've done it. There's a lot of fiber in my diet. I've done it.
So here's the deal. What I didn't know was a tiny little bit of poo had fallen out of my bum and it had gone onto the back of my pants, right? Oh. I get back. I clean up. I do everything. I pull my pants up. I do it up. It gets worse. I go down to the party. I got poo on the back of my pants, but I don't realize it. I go back upstairs. What a great night. I fold my Dolce & Gabbana Spring Summer 1998 whatever leather pants up. Put them in my luggage. I fly around the world. I get to Sydney, Australia. I get another fancy party. Put my pants on. I go downstairs and I'm laughing it up with everybody. And my manager said to me, "What's on the back of your pants?" And I said, "Nothing." And she goes, "It looks like they've been burnt." So at this point, the human shit had dried so much that it blended into the leather and it looked like someone had taken a blowtorch to my leather pants. So I was outraged because these were Dolce & Gabbana Spring Summer 1998 collection gift pants. Furious I was. Anyway, stayed for the whole party. Just thought, I'll just cover up my shit. No one will see the burnt bit. Went upstairs. And upon investigation, a little scratch and sniff, I realized human shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yep, I did that.
I have a touring story as well. It didn't happen to me. I was on the tour. Probably wasn't as luxurious as your tours, Darren, but it was for the Comedy Festival Roadshow with a comic called Bev Killick. Lovely.
I've been on Comedy Festival Roadshow with Bev Killick.
She's lovely, but she's wild, okay? She's a wild woman. And we were at the airport. We'd been away for 3 days. We were at the airport, and she was wearing pants, and she went, "Oh, what's it?" Thought it was a chocolate stain. Licked her finger, and then licked it again and was, and it was dog shit because she'd walked her dogs and got shit in her pants. But she hadn't, there'd been 3 days in her luggage, just this shitty panted, pair of trousers. And then she went and told all of us the story. I'm like, that could have been a secret that only you knew, Bev. But now you've told all of us, and now I'm saying it on a podcast. So there you go.
How do you know what dog shit tastes like?
That was our question as well. How did you absolutely know? Because she was like, well, that's the only thing it could be. I walked the dogs in these pants before I left. And now, yeah, I remember I put the shitty bag in my pocket and it must have got a bit out. So, yeah.
You've got a bit of like aftertaste of schmacko.
Yeah.
My dog did take a dump in my suitcase once, so that did happen too. So they do that, right? Yeah,
when
just because he was annoyed.
All right, next
question. I was just annoyed that I was wearing leather.
Next question. Who, while on acid, hit the most unbelievable basketball shot, but due to the acid, are not sure if it was real or not?
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
James.
Yes, you are correct. That was James, yes. Put that for Michelle.
I'm pretty sure it was real, but I was at a party in Wollongong. I was off. I didn't know anyone. I was off my head. And the ball went, rolled around and went in, and it was like Disney-like. I was king of the party, but there is every chance that I just shit myself badly at a party, let's say, and then hallucinated a scenario that wasn't psychologically damaging.
Right, which is fantastic. Either way.
Next question. Who here was once held by the Australian Federal Police for accidentally forming a protest?
Darren.
Yes, Darren.
It's you, Joshua.
No, it's not. It's James. Point off Darren there.
What did you do?
We were doing a comedy sketch and we had a character holding a placard that said, "Wind farm are dumb," and went too close to Parliament building. And then the AFP rode up on a bike and did the cool bike skid in front of us, stopped us, called over a supervisor who was mad that her bag of burger rings had to be interrupted to deal with these interlopers. And then we got ridden up for it. It was good.
Did you have to pay?
No, we literally were like, I was like, oh, we're just shooting a comedy sketch. And she goes, comedy sketch? Who for? And I was like, University of Sydney. And she's like, oh, I went there. Isn't UNSW shit? And then that way.
I was going to say you should have done it in the United States. You would have been allowed right inside the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you lost your sign, you could have photocopied another one on their photocopier inside. All right, next question. Whose first job only paid them $1 an hour?
Collie.
Yes, James.
Darren?
Yes, you are correct. Point there for James, yes.
Yeah, what? I was a milk boy.
$1 an hour. I was going off pig shooting and thought this was some rural child exploitation going on here.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I went straight from, I just went from chasing pigs to chasing pig breast milk. No, pigs, we don't drink pig milk, do we?
We don't drink pig milk.
We're not supposed to, but you can.
I don't know which pig's milk to put on my cheese ball.
Could you imagine milking a pig? That would be awful. Yes.
That's between you and your God.
I'm sorry. Yes, it was paid $1 an hour. It was a 7-hour shift. It was horrible.
It'd be great if pig nipples were like their tails and little curly things. You can really get it out. Oh,
is it true that pigs' penises are
corkscrewed?
Corkscrewed?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can make them, if you arouse them enough, it'll be straight.
All right, next question. This should be easy. Whose answer to a lot of life's problems is watch Paddington 2?
Calling Michelle.
Yes, you are correct, yes.
It's so good. Little bear. He likes marmalade. It's silly.
Is it a lot better than the first one?
It's great, yeah, but I love the first one.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I love the first one. I just really, really love the second one because the aesthetic is it's stunning. It's like a Wes Anderson film without any of the pretentiousness.
Oh.
It's so beautiful.
I made a special trip out to Paddington Station to see the Paddington statue because on the anniversary of the death of the author, people leave out little jars of marmalade for it. And oh boy, does that make you cry.
Oh, that's so nice.
I thought you were going to say, oh boy, is that a good way to get some free marmalade?
I thought you were going to say that too.
Yeah.
This is how I scare my way into rivers of marmalade.
Next question. Who once had a reviewer tweeting at them during a show about how much they didn't like the show?
Darren.
Yes, Darren.
I'm going to say Michelle.
No, that was James. Another point of Darren.
That wasn't me.
It's only because I think you're good. I'm sorry.
What show is this?
This was my second ever stand-up show, and it was playing to about six people, and she was right at the front messaging me. It was because I was making jokes about Tony Abbott, and she said, like, the tweets, which I checked afterwards, were about how this show should be apolitical because it's a science show and not about politics. And
oh,
those two
wow.
things never mix.
Oh, golly. That's very funny.
I mean, it's still got three stars, so...
I'm surprised someone who likes science also liked Tony Abbott. That's odd. Anyway, and our final question for the game. Who here had dinner with Madonna?
Michelle?
Yes, Michelle.
I mean, I feel like it's Darren.
So you
it's look, James?
Are you, what are you looking in? Darren
it's fucking
James?
Darren.
It is Darren, yes.
Like, it's not James.
I just love this.
Why couldn't it have been James?
Because... he's not in the same industry as her, and he lives in Sydney, Australia. So that's just my vibe. It doesn't, like, shitting yourself in leather, 97, 98, gifted, designer pants. That's Madonna.
Yeah, we didn't
not win
have
far
dinner.
Far
it, was,
Darren...
it was purely sexual. No dinner.
Darren took a pig shooting. It was lovely.
I did. She turns out she loves pig milk. Loves it. Oh, I just had this vision of James at dinner with Madonna. It was very
I think he'd be
sweet.
Very entertaining. He's very funny.
Yeah.
She'd love him.
So how many people at the dinner? Was it just the two of you? Was it an entourage
No,
situation?
It was hilarious because it was completely unexpected. So it was around the time, I guess it was maybe 10 years ago, it was around that time that she fell off a horse. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but she had... She'd gone horse riding and she fell off a horse and she had injured herself and whatever. But we had a mutual friend and got invited to, and I hate that stuff. I mean, we're Australian and it's just, my whole thing with famous people is I literally excuse myself as I'm introducing myself. So I kind of go, hi, oh my God, you're amazing. I love everything you do. I'm going to go, bye.
Yeah.
And I've done that to so many famous people. And so my friend kind of knew that about me and he said, look, do you want to come to this? We're having this dinner party. Maybe come for dessert because there's only a setting for 12 people, but I'd love you to come over. And then he said, Gwyneth and Chris are going to be there. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, and he's like, please just come, please just come. Just, it's super casual, just come. So we did, Richard and I went there and I was wearing like jeans and a t-shirt and I'm not kidding, like a butler opened the freaking door and I was like, oh my God. And then I could hear like it sounded like Downton Abbey. There was like, you could hear expensive cutlery and stuff. And we were just like, oh my God. And we thought we were at the wrong place. And then my friend came out and he was like, Darren, Richard. And he was wearing like a velvet tuxedo.
Oh no.
And then he calls me into the room. He's like, please come on inside. And it turned out that it was a surprise makeup birthday dinner for Madonna because she had been ill on her birthday, so this was this makeup thing. And we walked in and he was like, it was so surreal. There was like 12 people in there. Guy Ritchie was there and they were breaking up at the time, so it was very tense. And they introduced us and Madonna's first words were, I think she said something like, did you know you were coming to a dinner tonight? Like, and I was like, yeah, I know, I get it. It was a terrible outfit. But she remembered having come to a Savage Garden concert. She said, I know you. And I was like, she's like, you're a singer? And I was like, yes. And she goes, tell the story, like that. And I was like, oh, yes, ma'am. And so I just told the story. I was like, oh, I was performing in New York City once, the Beacon Theatre, I think it was. Seared into my brain. I'm a huge fan. So I was like, and you apparently you had heard that I do Ray of Light in my show, and so you came to the show, and I performed, but... And then I just found the courage to kind of give her some shit back. And I said, and I never found out if you liked it or not. And she said, I did. It was great. And then that was it. We sat down and we were at dinner with Madonna. It was amazing. Yeah.
How does her face move? Like what?
How does my... What do you
how
do?
How does her face move and what does she smell like? I need to know everything.
I got
to
tell
everything.
You, I'm not just saying this because I'm a huge fan. She had that thing every famous person does, which is A, she was this black vortex of energy that you can't help but just want to throw yourself into at the speed of light.
Yeah,
because
wow.
Clearly it was like that's how somebody becomes that famous. Like it is literally a force that you're like, hold me back. It's the event horizon.
Wow.
Because she just has that kind of energy to her. And her head is so much bigger than you think it would be. She has massive eyes that are like the ocean. Like her eyes are really, really this greeny, greeny blue. And the only, and the thing I loved about seeing her in person was I loved that you could see that she had wrinkles. Like she had crow's feet, like people would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, oh, she's come dressed as Madonna because she just looked like, a, like, it was like everyone else was just mortal and she had this kind of like spotlight above her and we were dying, absolutely dying.
When you were at dinner with Madonna, do people address her as Madonna? This seems like a dumb question, but they go, hey, Madonna, what do you reckon about this?
They call her M, but it's a funny question that you asked that because everyone else referred to their, like, they called Guy Ritchie Guy Ritchie. It was very funny. It's like, hey, Guy Ritchie, and blah, 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 blah. Guy Ritchie, do this. But she was hilarious because she was making everyone at the table tell a story. So I was one of those first people that she was like, you, entertain me. But you just gladly did. You were like, it's Madonna. Yeah. I'll do it.
Oh my
I'll do
God.
Anything you want. Do you want me to do a handstand? I've never done one, but I'll do it.
That's wild.
Yeah,
it was really wild. We left petrified, and I've never met anyone more famous. So there we go.
There isn't anyone more famous.
Now, James, you tell your story about when you met Madonna now. So let's do that.
Okay. No. So we're in a McDonald's 24 hours just off the Hume Highway.
No, I said Madonna, not
Glen
McDonald's.
Glen Rowan McDonald's?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know the one. I've seen her around.
At the end. At the end of the game, the scores are... Darren Hayes, -2.
Okay. But he met Madonna.
He met Madonna, so there you go. Yeah,
it's fine.
Josh Earle, 1. I got 1 point. James Colley, 8 points. But our winner on 9 points is Michelle Brazier. Yes,
hey,
well done.
Fake news.
Yeah, I'm a sore loser. I'm pretending to be gracious here, but I'm actually fucking angry.
Yeah.
Now, Michelle, because
I'm forming
you
my
win,
own government.
You can promote whatever you want to promote first. Where can people find you, Michelle?
You can find me at Michelle Brazier on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can... That's where I live. That's where I live.
Great. James, where can people find you?
At Jam Collie on social media stuff. And catch The Weekly coming back to ABC TV at the start of February.
Very nice.
Awesome. Oh, I didn't plug anything. Can I plug things?
Yeah, go for it. What do you got?
Can you please watch The Merger on Netflix and Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun on Netflix? And can you also please watch Why You Like This, but it doesn't come out for a month?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's Naomi Higgins.
So good.
Yes. Great. Darren, where can people find you?
Oh, you probably don't want to, but I'm under my name on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, and I have nothing to plug, just this show. How can I plug this podcast?
Well, I think most people who listen to the plugs have listened to the podcast already, unless there is someone out there just going, just get me to the plugs. That's all I want to hear. So go back and listen to the start of the show.
Right. Okay. Well, if you guys are listening to this podcast and you're already listening to it, just do him a favor. Josh is his name, and just go back and re-listen to them.
Thank you.
Because... He needs the
I do.
Spins or whatever we call them.
Yep. Downloads.
I need
downloads. He needs the DLs.
Yeah. I need the clicks.
Send this to Madonna.
Yes.
Slip into his DLs.
Everyone
get
tag this in Madonna.
To Madonna.
Hey,
don't
if you're in
that.
Melbourne, this weekend I start the first of 4 live Don't You Know Who I Am's at Comedy Republic, 4 PM. The lineup this week, I can announce the lineup officially. So it is Tom Gleason, it is Randy, it is Grace Jarvis and Zan Rowe. So make sure you come along to those tickets at joshearle.com.au. It'd be nice to see a nice full room in a brand new venue because it's always fun. Hey, thank you very much. It's been heaps of fun. See you guys next time. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.